The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the November-December issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we go to the top of the front page, 2023 Sports Kid of the Year. Fifi Garcia. No matter the sport, this superstar will suit up. Well, let's find out what we can expect for this issue. The lineup. Sports Kids of the Year 2023, page 34. Our Sports Kid of the Year, Fifi Garcia, can do it all. Soccer, basketball, futsy, softball, track, volleyball, to the dismay of countless opponents. Page 14, the annual Gotta Get It Guide is great for leaving subtle holiday hints. Now, go do some chores. On page 16, to accommodate enough fans, sometimes unusual venues built for other sports are required. Long before people were talking about the tush-push sports had their own strange vocabularies. Page 20. On page 22, you're a general manager with a time machine. Can't miss scenario, right? Think again. A flashy new coach and a teenage tennis sensation are among the things we're thankful for. Page 42. And on page 48, Iowa's Caitlin Clark is looking to add memories and a big trophy to her college hoops journey. The faves in this magazine. Freeze frame, page 2. Sports cards, page 7. On page 9, we have hot take. Page 11, birthdays. Posters, page 27. The treehouse, page 31. What's the call, page 52. On page 53, games, page 54. Art gallery and Buzz Beamer. On page 56. Our first freed frame on page 2. The title, Flipping Out. Picture here of Detroit Lions and, topsy-turvy Green Bay Packer. September 28, 2023, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Aaron Jones of the Packers got a unique look at an NFL game when his team took on the Lions. The running back was upended by Detroit's Cam Sutton for a 2-yard loss. Jones, who finished with 19 yards on 5 carries, was left wishing he could flip the result of the game. The Lions jumped out to a 27-3 lead and held on for a 34-20 victory. Our second freeze frame. Swordplay, September 27, 2023, Hangzhou, China. The artistry of fencing was on display when a pair of Olympians, Vivian Kong on the left of Hong Kong and Li Hien of South Korea, battled in the finals of the women's team epee competition at the 19th Asian Games. South Korea won the closely fought competition 36-34. Next, we'll go to Who's Who in Sports. Top of the page. Alicia Gray, Atlanta Dream, guard. Her height is 6 feet. She was born January 12, 1995, in hometown Sandersville, Georgia. Gray made her first All-Star team in 2023, her first season with Atlanta. She averaged a career 17.1 points per game and added 4.9 rebounds and 3.1 assists. Before joining the Dream, Gray spent 6 seasons in Dallas. The Wings drafted her in 2017 when she was named WNBA Rookie of the Year. But did you know Gray won a gold medal as part of the USA 3x3 basketball squad at the 2020 Olympics? The first time the sport was contested at the games. Next, we have Olga Carmona. Her height is 5'3". She was born June 12, 2000, hometown Seville, Spain. Wearing the captain's armband, Carmona scored the game-winning goal for Spain in its last two matches of the 2023 Women's World Cup. Her 29th-minute goal against England accounted for the only scoring in the final. A left back, Carmona played club soccer for Real Madrid. Did you know, though, that Carmona, whose father passed away just before the World Cup final, wears shin guards that feature an image of her with her family? Hani Mukhtar, Nashville midfielder. His height is 5'8". His weight is 159 pounds. He was born March 21st, 1995, hometown Berlin, Germany. The top scorer in Major League Soccer in 2022, with 23 goals in 33 games, Mukhtar added 15 more in 34 games in the 2023 season. He joined the club from Danish side Brøndby in 2020, Nashville's first Major League Soccer season. Mukhtar scored the team's first ever hat trick the next season, and it was the fastest in Major League history, 6 minutes. Did you know the Nashville Soccer Club crest features several vertical lines that represent sound waves in keeping with Nashville's nickname of Music City? Warm up, the hot take. Picture here of the catcher and pitcher. No relief in sight. As pitchers throw harder and harder, innings totals get shorter and shorter. Oh, boy. No More Starting Pitchers by Skip Shoremore. On September 8th, with his team leading the Rays 4-2, Seattle Mariners pitcher George Kirby went back out for the seventh inning. After getting the first Tampa Bay hitter to ground out, Kirby gave up a double to outfielder Jose Siri. Then on his 102nd and final pitch of the game, Kirby surrendered a game-tying homer to Rene Pinto. The Mariners went on to lose 7-4. After the game, Kirby told reporters, "I wish I wasn't out there for the seventh, to be honest. I was at 90 pitches and I didn't think I needed to go anymore." It is unusual for any athlete to admit they wanted out of a contest. Top-of-the-rotation starters are expected to go deep into games, especially during tight September pennant races. Kirby's comments drew the rebuke of retired Major League Baseball hurlers, most of whom played in eras when 90 pitches would have been a short start. "This is tough to hear. Would not fly in the old days," wrote Roger Clemens, who once threw 161 pitches on a 100-day in Texas in 1988. "Crazy that someone can be so mentally weak who plays a sport at a high level," said Mark Mulder, who threw 229 and a third innings for the A's in 2001. Even some contemporary pitchers were baffled. "Don't know all the details here, but this is really weird," wrote Brandon McCarthy, who last pitched for the Braves in 2018. "I get the feeling if you're just out of gas, but can't imagine ever verbalizing this publicly." The next day, Kirby apologized to manager Scott Servais and claimed his comments didn't represent his true competitiveness. But it was too late. Nearly everyone, fans, commentators, players, piled on Kirby for being soft, especially compared to the stars of yesteryear. Even if he was soft, though, he was also something else. Absolutely right. The decision to push Kirby past 100 pitches almost certainly did cost the Mariners a key game. Doesn't that matter at all? I know what you're thinking. Kirby blew the game, and then he put the blame on his manager. That I'm helping him make excuses for his own performance? Science, however, is on Kirby's side. Batting stats rise steadily the more times a pitcher goes to the opposing order. In 2023, hitters had a 315 WOBA on their first crack of the other team's starter. That number improved to 323 on the second turn and 336 on the third. This trend makes intuitive sense. Hitters have seen all their opponents' pitches at this point and know their plan for getting them out. The hurlers also battling a fatigue batters don't experience. Speaking of fatigue, Kirby's average fastball velocity, 96.1 miles per hour, ranked sixth among all starters this past season. His sinker, 95.8, was the fourth hardest. The Mulders of the world may have topped out at 96 two decades ago, but they weren't averaging it. Pitchers are exerting themselves more because 90 miles per hour won't cut it anymore, and they're paying for it with their arms. If a boxer can tap out of a fight before they get seriously hurt, why can't a pitcher? Admit it, old-timers. You're not mad at Kirby. You're mad at baseball. Pitching culture has changed. As recently as 2015, starters averaged 5.81 innings per game. By 20, that number had dipped to 4.73. Logan Webb led all pitchers this past season with 216 innings pitched. Clemens twice topped the league with innings pitched, with 271 in the third in 1991 and 264 in 1997. The pitcher is the ultimate solo performer. He stands on a raised surface at the center of the field, all eyes on him. He controls the ball, and nothing happens in the game until he goes. When a person in that position can go nine innings and totally dominate, there is no one cooler in all of sports. And the fact that going the distance in a baseball game is rare has actually made guys like Sandy Alcantara, who had nine complete innings in the last two seasons, that much more special. Shaming Kirby to be quiet and get back out there won't stop the game from evolving. Only radical rule changes can do for pitching what the disengagement limit and bigger bases have done for base stealing. Should the mound be closer? Should the strike zone expand? Probably not. Batters already strike out too much. More likely, the game will continue to evolve. Openers will become more prevalent. Rotations will expand or vanish altogether. Bullpens will carry a greater mix of long and short relievers. The starter as we know it will cease to exist. George Kirby isn't what's wrong with this era of baseball. He's just caught in between. In 50 years, fans will look back at what Kirby said and find it odd, not that he said it, but that it even needed to be said. Reader engagement. Kip answers your letters. Sam writes, "Hi, Kip. Tell Whitney and Buzz they are running the magazine very well. So, what if every year in the Major League Baseball draft, every team released every player on their roster so that those players would become draftable, along with soon-to-be rookies? This idea would hopefully get rid of dynasties like the Astros to give every team a fair chance. Teams like the Oakland A's or the Washington Nationals would have a chance to get superstars like Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Being a Braves fan, I can see how this would benefit other teams." Sam, I've got to disagree with you on one thing right off the bat. I don't think Whitney and Buzz are running the magazine very well. For one thing, this is my first letters column in many issues. They said they can't make it in every magazine thing because I don't get enough people writing in. We all know that can't be true. I'm sure they're just afraid of my growing influence over the readers. Just in case that is true, please have an adult email your letters to kip.shoremore@si.com. Anyway, to answer your question, I love your idea. I think it's terrific. It'll never happen. A fantasy draft do-over for the entire league will certainly restore competitive balance, and I can tell your motivations are pure because it would totally ruin your beloved Braves roster. But players are people with lives outside of sport. Imagine Matt Olson's face when he's back on the A's. Their kids have friends at local schools. Their dogs are used to peeing on certain neighbors' shrubs. Sure, pros can be traded at any time, but uprooting all of them all at once would lead to lots of angry players and dogs. That being said, it'd be terrific fun to give everyone one big redo. It would also be the ultimate test of front office skill and strategy. The Mets' vault of trillion-dollar bills couldn't bail them out in a free-for-all draft like yours. Maybe baseball could do this draft once every 10 years, just to prevent things from getting stale. That way all the players would know it's coming and list their houses for sale. November birthdays. Angel City Football Club forward Alyssa Thompson celebrates her 19th birthday. Dexter Lawrence of the New York Giants is 26 years old. On the 17th of November, Steelers All-Pro safety Minkah Fitzpatrick turns 27. And on November 28th, Wild goalie Marc-Andre Fleury turns 39. Warm-up, art attack, the art of hitting. At this year's Little League Classic game in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia Phillies second baseman Bryson Scott, top right, made highlight reels before he even swung his bat. In fact, it was better that he didn't take a swing so everyone could get a good look at the giant number two pencil he had brought to the plate. Scott ended up 1-for-4 as the Phillies lost to the Washington Nationals 4-3. Time to hit the pencil sharpener. Stott's back-to-back lumber went viral. It was just one of a handful of whimsical custom bats, bottom right, that players were swinging in the spirit of Little League fun. Bryce Harper used a bat with the Phillies fanatics image on it. The bats came from Victus Sports, the company that also made notable twigs from recent home run derbies, including Harper's We the People American flag themed bat in 2019. The bat designs came from airbrush artist Bruce, the Bat King, Tatum. Victus' website features plenty of traditional-looking bats for sale, but also custom pieces like the Caveman, bearing the image of disheveled Phillies center fielder Brandon Marsh. Two sold-out designs involved shark teeth running down the side of the barrel, evoking the nose of art World War II fighter pilots. Don't expect to see this festive equipment in regular Major League Baseball games anytime soon, though. Rule 3-02D specifically prohibits any colored bats unless approved by the Rules Committee. Why, though? Dave Gunnarsson is an airbrush artist famous for making National Hockey League goalie masks. He's hockey's answer to the Bat King. Unlike Tatum's, however, Gunnarsson's designs show up in most every pro game. He designs the helmets for more than half the league's netminders. So we support the campaign to get crayons and pencils and whatever else into the hands of big league sluggers. Just let us know the hashtag. Hashtag open the pencil pouch. Question, hashtag sharpen Major League Baseball. Question, hashtag crayons 2024. LOL. Unfortunate grammar man. Patrick Mahomes at patrick.29. Hate that man. Praying the best. There's a new version to this post. Let this be a lesson to you kids who complain, when will I ever need to know this? Every time a teacher tries to impart some grammatical wisdom. After Aaron Rodgers injured his Achilles tendon during the New York Jets' first game of the season, reactions poured in from all corners of the NFL world. Patrick Mahomes tried to express solidarity with his fellow quarterback, but it came out all wrong when he missed an important piece of punctuation. Hate that man. Praying for the best, Mahomes posted on social media. The message read, like Mahomes hates Rodgers and was praying for a season-ending injury. What Mahomes meant to write was, Hate that, man. Praying for the best. He was telling the colloquial man, as in, oh man, I am out of quarters, and he hates that, meaning the play that injured Rodgers. Mahomes edited his post, but that only drew attention to his earlier mistake. Fans had fun at his expense. So to ensure that you're never a multimillionaire getting lightly mocked for a minor typographical error, let's go deeper into the error. Man, in his sentence, is a noun of direct address. Anytime someone is being spoken to in a sentence, even the generic man, it should be offset by commas. Example, dear readers, thanks for making it to the end. Crowd control, more the merrier. 92,003. Volleyball, Nebraska versus Omaha. Nebraska fans love cheering for a winner in Packing Memorial Stadium. With the football team struggling, the volleyball squad gave the Cornhuskers faithful the chance to do both on August 30th, 2023. More than 92,000 fans packed the football stadium to see them beat Omaha, set a record for the largest crowd ever to see a women's sporting event. To accommodate enough fans, sometimes unusual venues built for other sports are required. Tennessee versus Virginia. Virginia Tech. The 2016 Battle of Bristol saw more than 150,000 fans pack a NASCAR track near the Tennessee-Virginia border to watch the Vols and Huskies. Virginia Tech raced out to a 14-0 lead at the Bristol Motor Speedway, but University of Tennessee roared back with a pass that would have made Dale Earnhardt Jr. proud, winning 45-24. 30,472. Tennis, Battle of the Sexes. After Bobby Riggs taunted women's tennis players, Billie Jean put him in his place with a three-set exhibition victory on September 20, 1973. The match, seen by 90 million people worldwide, was held at the Houston Astrodome in the middle of baseball season in front of more than 30,000 tennis fans. Iowa versus DePaul. How much do Iowa fans love home state star Caitlin Clark? Page 48. On October 15, 2023, a crowd of more than 55,000 Kinnick Stadium to see her triple-double help lead the Hawkeyes past the Blue Demons. That was almost double the old record for attendance at a women's hoops game, which was set at the Alamo Dome during the 2002 NCAA tournament. WNBA Liberty Fever. Night sessions at Arthur Ashe Stadium, the main court at the United States Open, have a reputation for being on the wild side. But on the evening of July 19, 2008, the iconic venue saw something it had never witnessed before. Hoops. The Liberty Outdoor Classic drew nearly 20,000 fans who saw Indiana beat New York 71-55 in the first outdoor game in WNBA history. Dodgers versus White Sox. Unlike the other events on this list, the Dodgers hosting Game 3 of the 1959 World Series in front of more than 92,000 fans at the LA Coliseum wasn't a one-off. The Cavernous football venue was the team's home for 4 years. To cram in a diamond, the left field fence was just 250 feet from home plate. Vocab lesson, page 20 and 21. Old-timey lingo. Long before tush-push entered the lexicon, sports had a colorful and sometimes confusing language all their own. Now repeat after us. Football, the gridiron contest between pigskin toters, promises to be a classic matchup. I believe the homestanding 11 will fill the sky with aerials, allowing them to find pay dirt. Translation. The game between football players will be good. I think the home team will pass the ball frequently and successfully, allowing them to get into the end zone. Baseball. The cranks and rooters were heard to shout, "Huzzah!" when the hurler towed the alien humpback and tossed a dew drop that the striker walloped for a daisy cutter, only to see the base tender muff the onion. Translation, the fans cheered when the visiting pitcher took the mound and threw a slow pitch which the batter hit along the ground, but the opposing fielder booted the ball. Basketball. That wonder quint of cagers and basketeers notched many counters thanks to their set shots that rattled into the peach basket off the backboard. Translation. Those five basketball players scored a lot of points by taking flat-footed shots that went into the hoop off the backboard. Hockey. After losing the cork bung in the bully, that feisty puckus dropped his gauntlet and threw a punch at a rival hockeyist, who replied by feeding him a Northland sandwich. Translation, after losing the puck in the faceoff, that player dropped his glove and hit the other player, who responded by shoving his Northland brand stick in his face. Boxing. Which pugilist will end up kissing the canvas in the exhibition of the sweet science, the plotter, or the tomato can with the glass jaw? Translation. Which fighter will get knocked out in the boxing match, the relentless puncher or the unskilled fighter who can't take a punch? Fast Facts. This month, Jaylen Brown, Boston Celtics shooting guard. In 2023, his seventh season with the Celtics, Brown averaged 26.6 points per game. He shot a career-best 49.1% from the field and grabbed 6.9 rebounds per game as well. Brown, who played one season at Cal before turning pro, has lectured at Harvard about the importance of athletes using their voices to promote causes. And then we have Francisco Lindor, New York Mets shortstop. Fast Facts. Lindor joined the 30-30 club in 2023, hitting 31 home runs and swiping 31 bases for the Mets. He also posted a defensive WAR. His signing disposition, Lindor spent six seasons in Cleveland. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.